Trapped in paradise.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so most of you were here last week, and we touched on a topic that is not discussed in spiritual circles. Often it's something that people are running from in spiritual circles. Ray, last week we did a meditation on evil. Not something you chat about, it's like something you don't want. It's the reason you came is not to think about evil, to think about spiritual, think about happiness, think about love, and to manifest that. A Course in Miracles has a complete opposite take on evil and on love from just about any spiritual book or pursuit I've seen, and that is, you don't learn love. You are love if you just knew. You remove the blocks that are, you are instantly contributing to your awareness of love's perfect presence. It's perfect. Love is perfect. See, that's what makes love love. You can't not have what is. Nothing real can be threatened, and that means it can't be pushed out, can't not exist. Nothing real can be threatened. It says what you've got is a whole bunch of the unreal that, much to your very personal challenge, you know to be true. What? You know the unreal to be true. What? Your biggest problem as a thinking being is you know something that's not true. That is... Is that what we're starting? Is that what this book is addressing? Because that's a serious challenge. If you come to me and you say, look, I really don't know, can you give me some ideas? We can talk. Yeah. But the problem is we know something about this world. Bodies, time, space, loss and gain, coin, health. We know something about these things very personally to be true. That's a hard place to start if you know something to be true that's not true. You know something that's untrue. Oh, the world would sooner teach you its illusions, which, by the way, it perfectly does because of where the illusions came from. That's what I want you to focus on tonight. As we look at this idea of two powers, God and good, evil and bad, life, and the obviousness of death. I know there's a lot of life around here, right? But isn't there equally, absolutely, end of sentence, death? You know something that's not true. It's a tough nut. But, you know, that's what we do here. So let's take a moment now. And let's dig in. And I want you to answer this for yourself. Just for yourself. Find out and be honest. In existence, are there two powers? The question is, are you struggling between two hours. I mean, if there was one power, wouldn't everything go its way? Why is there chaos? Why are there decisions to make? Why is there the seeming mistakes that seem so right at the time? Is there another power that's competing with your goodness? When you've described something as evil, oh, that's evil. Is God losing right there? Did God somehow lose? Because it's not loving? Is that proof that there are two powers? And if you don't do your work, if you don't pray, if you don't do your spiritual reading, if you don't meditate, if you don't remember to do something for charity, if you don't remember to say I love you to somebody this week, if you don't do any of that, does that mean you are in the grips outside of God, outside of love? Is there another power that now will take you and drown you in dark thoughts? Is that what happens? Does it seem that the momentum for darkness overtakes you and you no longer feel free to love, to share, to laugh, to be patient, to be happy, to even be grateful for the very life that's struggling in that minute because it hurts? Are there times when it feels like you are not free? Are there times when you feel that you're drowning and you're not free? Is that another power that beats out God? That beats out love? And when you are supremely happy and your funny bone is tickled and the laughter is coming so much the tears are going down your face and you're seeking other eyes to understand how wonderful and happy or funny this thing is, you're red in the face, this is so funny, it's so happy, so big, you can't contain it, and you're looking for others to join you in moments of glee and joy and happiness like that. And you're just in love with the moment and it's timeless? Have you beaten out the soberness you might call depression? Is that the other power that's losing out? Check in now, very personal here. Check in now. How is it that this teeter-totter changes balance? Is there a competition going on? Is there a competition going on? And sometimes some circumstances make you drown in the darkness. You just have to hold your chin up the best you can because it's so strong. Whereas other times, you just are overwhelmed with the glee as you let loose and laugh, and you feel patient and full and loving. somehow that's so strong now that you just have to enjoy it while it lasts? Is one of those things more powerful?
Not really. We give it all the power it needs for us.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that we all know that there's no such thing as the ego world, but mm-hmm. in our minds, when we look at the dream of the planet, we have made it real. We have given it power. So whatever power it has over us mm-hmm. is, you know, is our ignorance. And when you go back years, I see where that thing had a lot of power over me. I believe it was real.
Mm-hmm.
It could do all kinds of horrible things to me.
All kinds.
Yeah, until I realize, wait a minute, it is a bunch of crap. It ain't real. And then you take his power away.
Right? That's the Course in Miracles, is that it's your own thoughts you live with?
What's that?
Your own thoughts that you're living with? Course in Miracles says don't try to change the world, change your mind about the world.
Exactly.
And then you'll get what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Power of your mind is paramount?
Pretty much. You know, I find that so all I gotta do is change my thoughts about it. And then all of a sudden you realize it never was real. You know, because if I change all my thoughts, there's nothing out there mm-hmm. that will affect me other than other people mm-hmm. with their thoughts
mm-hmm.
sending them back. And if I give their thoughts power, you know, then, because that's...
Because see, they're going to have their thoughts in their world.
Yeah.
You will have to translate before you have even any idea whether they're even talking to you.
Yeah.
And then the more complex translation goes as they start to put their finger on your chest and say, you hurt me. The translation is constantly going on there.
Yeah, there's all that out there, the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty. Until when they go, oh, sorry, I ain't guilty. Mm-hmm. But you still, I can feel that. Mm-hmm. I can feel that ego world coming at you, and you're, you know, it's
pretty quick, stuff, pretty strong.
Yeah, it's strong, it has all these things, and you just slowly, you gotta let it all go.
It's a cultural context, it's very slippery.
Yeah,
you know, it's
hard,
you don't even get that you're living inside it. We take for granted the cultural context that we were born into and that we live with,
mm-hmm.
and probably it's designed that way by some with some intention to maintain that, but you know. Even with all innocence included, you know, we were all born into a particular, we were born into a world that, at least in our culture, completely buys separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Likely, and hopefully there are some cultures on the planet where you're born into oneness.
Don't you know something by its evidence?
There's so much evidence of separation.
Isn't there so much evidence of separation?
And then then we're raised in a culture that puts words and language and concepts to separation.
Yeah. Can you draw a picture of God for me, anybody?
Everything.
Yeah.
Can you draw a picture of the devil? Actually, a piece of cake, right?
Yeah.
In the White House.
Politician.
Or ISIS. Or the cartoons, the thing with a man with a bull heads and a beard. We can draw the devil all day. Or that dirty SOB, the guy that threw that girl in the trash bin, that little girl dead mm-hmm. so many years ago. I mean, let's take his picture for the devil. We can find it so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we live by evidence? There's a lot of evidence of separation. There's a lot of evidence you better watch out. Because the world will come take your lunch via, you know, maybe your money or your health, or watch out for your loved one that they don't start loving somebody else, or for damn sure it will take your life. That one's 100%. Even Jesus died. Do we live by evidence? Do we know something about this world? Death, taxes, hand grenades.
Well, like David was saying, you know, so there is evidence, there's things that happen, there's things we're given, there's things we're taught, there's things we watch, there's things we hear.
Yeah.
But it's all filtered through whatever it is that makes our individual ego.
Yeah.
So something could happen to you, and the same thing happened to me, but our versions of, say, as a child, coping with that could be dramatically different.
Yeah.
But it's always that
something's filtered. You came into this room. You got a 1,300-page book that talks about shifting your mind, that love is real, and everything you're witnessing all day long is not.
Well, it's like,
why does that make any sense at all?
Well, because I'll speak for myself. I'm clearly addicted to separation.
Yes.
And I have all the evidence that supports that.
Yes.
And in my own individual ways,
yes,
how I've adapted my personality, my life, who's in my life, who's not in my life, around feeling safe or secure, or whatever my particular sensitivities are.
Yes, yes.
But
loved.
But where I found relief through this work and other works like this is evil doesn't exist. That's a construct.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't judge Jeffrey Dahmer or love Jeffrey Dahmer any less than he did Mother Teresa.
How do you know that?
The book.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that.
You like what it says.
Well,
you like what this book says.
Absolutely. There's relief there for one
thing. There's relief.
On a certain basic level, there's some relief involved. Because now I'm not dancing around because I don't really have it that I judge other people very, that's a pretty bold thing for me, but myself, that's a whole other story.
Yep.
So when I got at the universality of God's love for every human being on the planet, you don't have to be good or better or devout.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's nothing you have to
You like that idea. Even though some of those SOBs on the planet, in the news, they're pretty horrific. The example we had last week was the guy who drove the truck down the street in Paris. He tried to kill as many people as he could before somebody shot him. This guy. Most recent example. God loves him just as much as sweet Julie here.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like that? Right? Something in you. And it's not a lot of people are willing to say what you just said, which is beautiful. I mean, you give me a lot of credit that how powerful love is and whatever God is.
Well,
that God would love even that.
I mean, there's so much that goes right over my head in the book.
Yes.
And then there's things that land. If you really, you know, like the whole concept of a fearful God and God will punish you. And boy, that just is not consistent with God's love.
Aha. Uh-huh. Aha!
So on a certain basic level, this, you know,
this God's love would be the power.
That would be among all the stuff that got conjured up over the ages to control people and have people join your church. And,
yes.
You know,
so somehow, you know, you're willing to guide your life. I can tell by the passion in your voice. You know that God is good.
Or God just is.
You like God.
I think there's like a neutrality involved from a God point of view.
Yeah.
You know, there's no right or wrong from, you know, when you look at things from that broad a perspective.
Uh-huh. Can anybody here go beyond neutrality? Because I like neutrality, of course. You know, that's a very easy, safe standpoint. Because we're not judging, right? We're fully accepting. That makes you a very tolerant person, and I like that. Can anybody go beyond that for your experience of this other power? The opposite of evil? Is anybody willing to go to talk about light or goodness when everywhere we turn, there's evidence of darkness and separation and death coming? I mean, you just live another day, so that's minus one for you.
That's right.
It's simple math. There's only so many. Is there goodness? Or our discussion is, are there two powers? Are there two powers, Boy Scout? Are you in competition? Is your life lived? Don't drown in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And get as much of the light as you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're doing?
Are we actually struggling between two powers? Goodness and sin or evil? Is it waiting to get you?
Well, I see that as when we're balanced between the two powers of the ego.
Yes.
And we can stop doing that. Whenever I can actually go the other direction.
Yes, yes.
It's way better. It feels a lot better.
Feels better.
Hard to,
feels better.
The ego pulls it back, but when I can stay there for longer, well, it pulls me back. That's what I'm kind of what I look at. I try and stay there as long as I can, and I go, well, this is really cool. Uh-huh. And when I can actually get there, it'll hold for a longer time. But
yes. What a trick, huh?
Yeah, it's hard.
It pulls you back.
Pulls you freaking
back. You weren't even looking, and the ego pulled you back.
Yeah, but
what happened?
But I like the other direction. I don't
like it.
The ego in it. I want no ego.
And you know it's there, the other direction, the other power. You know something that you like.
But occasionally,
right?
Occasionally, when you're like, sometimes I'll get like my phone through the book and do some little thing here. Occasionally, you lose track of what that's doing and you just flow. And it's like, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, both sides, right?
So then I go, wow, that's what that's talking about.
Both sides.
Yeah.
You, like I said, when you're in silly laughter, the tears coming down your face, and it's you're just out of control. This is so great. You're seeking for other eyes to join you because this is you're in the flow. There's no turning back. And the same for the dark side. Sometimes it gets so dark and quiet, and that's got to flow too. It seems like a power.
It's kind of losing its power.
Good.
That side's losing its power, thank
God. Good. Yeah, losing its power. Interesting. And the other side, gaining power?
Yeah. What's really trippy is that we used to have these things.
Is that true for everybody? You hear what he said? One side losing power. That's my direct experience.
The other side gaining it.
The darkness is losing its power, and it's darkness. I can no longer see black anymore. I used to see some serious black. But I can no longer see perfect black anymore.
No, it's like, there's one part of it's gone.
Uh-huh.
Like, desire to go to the light
is
absolute.
Uh-huh.
So what stops me is just these things that I forgot all about. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, oh my God, that's the ego.
Uh-huh.
Something else to go deal with. It's like, I hit it all.
Uh-huh.
And I got really obvious, and then, since I'm not hiding it no more, you see it all, and sometimes I feel like I'm not getting anywhere because it's like, whoa, but it was hidden.
Yes. See, my point is what Stephen was talking about, is that I heard you mention, is that there is a preference, there is a belief that goodness has power, and I like it, and I want it. This book says I can have it. This book says the darkness not only has no power, it does not reel. Doesn't stay. Only stays as long as you think about it. Handy. Handy is that little factoid that it says over and over again. The power of your mind.
It's the image that came to me during the meditation was myself or us as just little babies, right? And the line, isn't it time to put away these sharp-edged children's toys? Like, this is not, it's not a power of evil. It's just an illusion. It's just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in a dream, you're not also in trouble for having had a nightmare. The nightmare just happened. And I don't mean that in the fact that I'm a victim of it happening. It's still, I'm the dreamer creating that dream. But you don't wake up and then, like, penalize yourself for having had a nightmare. Mm. You know, so just, it's just, actually what's interesting is I just, this whole day, or this whole week, I've just, like, had a lot of people on my mind because it seems like their lives are falling apart, parts of the world are falling apart, whether it's stress, pain, Texas flooding, it just, I'm hearing from so many people that have needs, and I'm, like, feeling a certain amount of empathy, and, just wanting to be loving in that situation, whatever that might look like for each person or situation. But it's like, so I started questioning, like, why does it seem like so much not great stuff is happening right now to, like, all my family, friends, and then the world? But it's hard to explain. I wondered why it felt like this was becoming more rapid, like in succession, like I'm seeing all of this. But it's not affecting me. Like, it's affecting me in a certain sense that I, you know, I want to reach out and offer care to people. But it's not putting me in the dark. And so then, you know, I just wondered if it isn't sort of escalating as that tug to try to pull me out of the light. But I don't want to go there. And I just, instead, I just want to, you know, bring care and compassion where I can.
You want to bring care and compassion. You want to bring care and compassion.
And see through the illusion. You know, like, I'm here right now. How do I show up in this situation? But also know that this doesn't actually affect me.
So you remember we talked about the holy relationship for so much? Number 16. And then 17 and 18, we got out of the unholy relationship into the holy relationship. And we had to make this very difficult passage from competition in a relationship, which starts to get so natural when there's two agendas going on. To this sharing idea of the holy relationship. And when we talked about the sharing aspect, we're able to talk about love from such a pure point of view. You wonder, why would I ever move away from wanting to share? At least go halfway. I mean, of course, it's a wonderful dance to share. Why did I think I couldn't? But, you know, that's a stretch from when you're being insulted, you're being ignored, if you're being unfairly treated, doesn't even seem to care about life. Crossing that bridge is like favoring, wanting to bring care and compassion, wanting to, versus wanting to put that person in their place and stop this abuse and love myself by beating up the other. Really different, right? It's like there's two ways to do it. It's like there's two powers. And were we to be fully trained on love, we would just say, well, what'd Jesus do? He'd get the tattoo right there. WWJD, right? Just remember to ask, what would Jesus do about you not taking out the garbage?
I think even that, it's like, it's not fighting it. It's just, when that darkness comes, you just sit with it until it dissipates. It doesn't have to take you. And you don't want to fight it. It's it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's my lived experience. It's not that the darkness doesn't come. It's just that, like, you, there's a certain amount of just accepting what is in the moment and knowing, like, it it just, it always passes. It always passes.
Well, it does seem to pass, because we were talking, just what we were talking about a while ago, when you distinguish something, when you bring it to the light and you distinguish it, it's almost lost its power in that moment.
Isn't that a funny thing?
And because if in, like, in some religious circles, we're basically taught the good and the evil, and clearly evil is bad and you resist it. Well, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge anymore. What you resist, you will get.
Yes, you know that phrase, resist,
so
not
what
evil.
What we're saying about just accepting the space, distinguish it. And maybe shift your focus somewhere else. But that moment of distinguishing it, that I think that, for me, has always been the moment things have the potential of shifting.
Yeah, me too.
Rather than just la-di-da, I feel shitty, oh, it's somebody's fault, oh, it's all this going on, or, you know, but we just a moment of responsibility, a moment of distinguishing it, and nine times out of ten, there's either relief, or there's an opening, or there's a shift.
More dark thoughts will bring more darkness, mm-hmm. and a little bit of light can kibosh the whole thing, mm-hmm. and suddenly lightness starts to come. We start to breathe easier. Optimism comes because we are seeking to be happy. Make no mistake. Somehow that's built in.
Yeah, it's like when you see something you think is bad and evil.
Uh-huh.
I find what I do is I look at it.
Yeah.
Without giving it, just look deep in it. And once I was reading, like someone's reading a book, I also realized, all I got to do is look at it.
Yes, yes.
It won't be evil.
And what power would look at the darkness?
Love.
The love power.
Yeah. The truth, you look in there.
This is key now. Let's stop right here now for a moment.
Yeah.
This course beautifully teaches us. It says, you cannot see an errant thought system from inside it.
Errant?
Yeah, errant, wrong.
Errant. Wrong thought. Okay.
You can't see a wrong thought system from inside it. You'd have to actually step out and look back at it and say, oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah. That actually works. You know, one day I decided to try it. And at that moment, I used to think there was something I had to fix
uh-huh.
in me, right?
Yes, yes.
That just gone. Oh my God, there never was anything.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you always thought there was something in there. You had something about me. I probably got to fix this thing.
You bet.
And all of a sudden, I was reading it here, and when I did this, there was something else, and it just, two or three things just kind of hit, and
yes.
it was gone. I go, oh my yes. God, it's not.
But this is huge, that you could actually step out of yeah. the circular, self-supporting, self-fulfilling prophecies of ego, stinking thinking, that somehow you, in your mind, could have a perspective that was outside of that, so that you could see it operating. That's huge. This is not to be discounted, that you have this power of observation, or what do we call, you know, the perceiver?
Witness.
Witness, observer. That's it. Why don't we talk about the witness?
Observer.
The what?
Observer.
The observer. If you could become this independent observer of some dynamic that you're fully operating. Wow, that's huge. Not to be discounted.
Mm-hmm. That means you have to let go of your pain. You have to let go of your suffering. You're kind of addicted to that. Or have these little pity parties. And
Well, me and Rick were talking about suffering.
You feel like, oh, well.
Because no suffering is like you're trying to sacrifice. It's all illusion. It's like, no sacrifice.
Yes.
That was cool when I realized, sacrifice is just a bunch of...
Sacrifice is giving up nothing.
Yeah, what's that? And why are you sacrificing?
Yeah.
What the hell?
What are you trying to buy with your sacrifice?
The end of suffering cannot be loss.
There it is, quote unquote, baby.
Favorite line.
Yeah. Nice.
It's so reassuring.
Say that again.
Yeah, say the that again. End of suffering cannot be loss.
Cannot be lost.
Cannot be lost.
L-O-S-S. Not lost, but lost.
Cannot be a loss.
We feel like we're giving something up, but all we're giving up is suffering. Yeah. So it's not giving up.
Because we're giving up nothing.
Yeah.
The question that I had.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was karma.
Uh-huh.
Because I kind of grew up with the idea of karma.
Yes.
And A Course in Miracles talks about that. It's beautiful that. Because we think something happened that caused bad things to happen. Somebody did something wrong and there's a payback.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody did something right and there's a payback. Usually yourself, but it could be, in the broader scope, Hinduism looks at it like something terrible hit, hurricane force,
Category 4 and all these people are...
They all had it coming.
Suffering because they had it coming.
Or the universe has to be in a balance. And somehow, all those people have gone so far off the reservation of love that we're just going to use this storm to beat them all down.
Right?
Yeah, we're drowning out the houses, kill off a couple hundred of them. Yeah. It just let karma balance it out.
Yeah, then it gets to be ridiculous. I love what the Course in Miracles really speaks to all that. But there is no cause and effect. There is no karma.
There is cause and effect, but they are not separated.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Turns out.
What does it say about that? They're not separated.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Okay.
But it's a key principle, metaphysical concept, thank you, A Course in Miracles, that can rock your world of understanding of life and God and thought and experience. That cause and effect are not separated. It goes into detail of anything you're experiencing is not separate from its cause, for if it could be, it could then become a cause on its own.
That's what I was wondering. Are there just causes?
They're just causes.
Because there's just the now. So a cause, and then we think of an effect in our ego mind. It's like there's now, and then there's a future consequence. There's no there's nothing now, and then something, and the future is affected by the past that doesn't exist.
Yes, yes. So it's a sleight of hand, the Course calls.
It's out of time. Yeah.
It's a very clever.
There's always now, and then now, and then now.
Duality there.
Yes, duality is then proven by this smoke and mirrors trick. That there was a then that caused the now, and because of how you responded, there'll be another later in the future you'll have to deal with. There's no stopping it now. It's a sleight of hand.
And if you didn't do this, that wouldn't have happened. Yes. How many times people
so
say
there,
that?
I can blame you.
How many people think that way?
I'm so fascinated by how you said that. It so landed for me that I walk around anticipating either disappointment or regret. You know, like I'll do something and the effect will be...
Like a law.
Regret or disappointment or...
No choice. You have to suffer.
Or shame, in fact. Matter of fact, I kind of got to the bottom of that recently where, something would happen and I couldn't quite figure out why my fight or flight got so triggered. And I've always thought... I've joked about, doing anything I can to avoid being embarrassed and... stuff like that, but it's actually shame.
And that you might not be able to escape the shame because you kind of deserve it for a while. Because of this whole karma idea. It's too late. You did what you said what you did. You did what you did. Or you grew up the way you grew up, and now you're going to have to live with it. This is the trick of the ego. And the key is, you see here, and once you start unpacking these things, they lose their power. See?
Yeah.
But time and space, okay? This is chapter 1 and 2, which is really, really dense stuff. Basically, it says these are the essence of the illusion that permits an experience of duality. So that you can have the evidence that now is not the only time there is. And that you are a victim.
Sorry, where did you start with these? Or what was the subject?
Time and space. You see, time exists, space exists, so everything doesn't all happen at the same time, and space is so it doesn't all happen to you at the same time. You gotta have
being special me.
You special you. You gotta have time so that you can spread out the difficulties, and you gotta have space so it doesn't all happen right here. Let it happen over there to David. Two. In its perfect sense, and it makes a wonderful dramatic play.
Well, it actually validates the whole illusion.
Yes, it validates the illusion, and it makes it really sane and believable.
Yeah. It makes locks it into, belief.
Slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Because, you know something about time and space.
Time is a limited resource, right?
But you know something that's not true. That's why we really need to meet here and talk about these things in some super
this is
depth.
Really good. We're like myth busting tonight.
Yeah, challenge.
I like it.
Challenge,
you know, that
a
program,
myth.
Busters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing tonight. Ego. We're busting the ego by seeing. Yeah, like you got to the core of, wow, I was being triggered because I was trying to avoid shame. It's like you got to the core of it. It can't, you know.
Got to challenge the idea.
Nothing hidden anymore.
That's presenting itself, like karma, is another great one, presents itself as true. Lots of evidence. And yet...
And it makes a nice story.
Makes a nice story. Movies are written about it. Grandparents talked about it. There's more people outside of this room dealing with the consequences of time and space that are in this room looking to let it go. Mm-hmm. So, can they be wrong? Or are we just fooling ourselves? Serious challenge here. This is why when we do these meditations, it's a real opportunity to just get honest and find out, is there a spark in there? In a room of vast darkness, is a little bit of light like this got all your attention? It has mine, even though I witness tough things in the world in darkness. Mm. But the light that I found here is so freaking bright. Mm.
Yeah.
It's got all my attention.
Yeah.
But it really does swing things around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to see it swing in a little bit? Look at page 222 in the text. Page 222 in the text. This is a section called The Investment in Reality.
Investment in Reality. 222?
Yes, 222.
Oh, yeah. Investment in reality.
That's the title of this section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the section. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be worthy of a reread sometime, but we're going to focus here on page 222, and let's go for... we may as well do 8 and 9, paragraph 8. David, you want to reinforce paragraph 8?
I had a question before I forget.
Sure, bring it.
Word witness.
Yes.
Yeah, I need a better definition. I'm not quite getting some of them. I think the words off.
Yes.
When they're talking about witness.
Yes.
They're talking about witness of me, witness or.
Oh yeah.
Else.
Good. Thank you. What we're talking about there in that discussion is it's kind of a funny experience. Okay. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like you're dreaming about your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The situation here is that you're seeing your entire life as a dream or a play,
uh-huh,
or a life, a human life that's got kids and a job and responsibilities and all that, and somehow you're willing to take the perspective of what somebody else would see about your life. You're not asking somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
You are offering the opinion.
Yes.
About yourself. You see? So you're essentially stepping outside of the circular
Ego thought system.
Mm-hmm. And that's Course in Miracles, I found, is no better way to do that. The lessons is no better way to do that.
That is a difficult thing.
I'm determined to see one day, all day long. I'm determined to see, which feels good. And then there's the fine print. I'm determined to see things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that going to cost me?
That's what caught me.
Yeah, I know it is.
What's
I remember. All day yesterday,
I'll never forget.
I was willing to beat the drum.
To replace the box.
I'm determined to see. All day. No problem.
I always remember that.
No problem. All day yesterday, I'm determined to see. And then comes the following day, which says, yes, see, but not see the way you've been seeing all your life and with conviction that karma's a bitch and there's no way around it. And it's God's way of being fair. What?
Right.
That's fairness? Well, yeah, because
God's
you did the bad. Look at this premise. Because you did bad and you harmed and you were evil, God's going to even it out by harming you.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, if you do good also,
then God will show you some favor, and you will escape the storm.
But you might get run over.
Okay. But that's true for you if you think that.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So what does Course say about karma?
How would you describe? If it serves you, then go for it. But it's not necessary.
How would you describe Course in Miracles' take on karma? We've done it a couple of times here.
Yeah.
Bring it. Bring it. Teach us.
He's got it.
Teach us.
If you think it, it's true.
If you think it is true for you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
If you think it's
like
true,
everything else we create.
Did you know that that is how
your belief system.
That's everything in our world. If we think it, that's our world.
The same with fear, right?
Everything.
Stop thinking.
If we think it, if we think it, that's our world. That's what.
Well, and somewhat access to witness is you are not what you think. Yeah. We think we're what we're thinking. That we identify with our thinking like it's us.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just this like brain machine that's taking in information. Neurons are flashing and firing, collecting information, interpreting things in a similar way they did when you were five.
Exactly. You know, making machines.
And we think that that's it.
Right.
Yeah. So the church capitalizes on that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a control mechanism.
The church, you know. Says that, you are what you think. If you think something sinful, you are sinful.
You know? Now you've got an identity of sinful because there are two powers. You've invited in the devil. The devil's living in you. You got to get in for an exorcism. We got an opening at 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
Right.
We can fix you.
Right. Or you can just wait and karma will bite you in the ass later.
Yeah, the church believes in sin.
Karma. The Course does, I would say the Course, the word's not in the book, okay? But in my training of Course in Miracles, it would agree that there's karma. But since it does not agree that there's a past.
Right.
As you can see.
The whole thing is about...
The karma, the karma starts and finishes in the same moment. Just like Walt said. Okay. He says, well, if you think it, it's real. Yeah. If you stop thinking it, it's not real. That's karma of A Course in Miracles.
Yeah,
you will receive your thoughts.
Yeah.
The power of your mind is a creator. We've been using it to create an illusion.
And that's true about every thought.
It's true in Hollywood, too. They're paid a lot of money to create illusions. A lot of money.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars. And they purposely create illusions, and they do great.
It's like our
friends. Well, we do it, and we don't even get paid for it. And we suffer from it.
We live it the same way as it's true, as though it were true.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Did you know?
And we forget
that
it
Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Mickey Mouse has lived longer than Mother Teresa. And will. There are more people who can relate to Mickey Mouse than Mother
or
Teresa.
Or heard
him. Is Mickey Mouse? Does he wear gloves? Anybody? Does he have gloves?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course he does.
Everybody knows that.
Mother Teresa, did she ever own a car?
No.
Does she wear gloves?
We don't know anything about what she wants.
Yeah. Slippery slope. So let's take a look at page 222. Number 8.
I said before that God so loved the world that he gave to his only begotten Son. God does love the real world. And those who perceive reality cannot see the world of death. But death is not the real world in which everything reflects the eternal. God gave you the real world in exchange for the one you made out of your split mind, which is the symbol of death. For if you could really separate yourself from the mind of God, you would die. Yep.
Well, you can't anyway because it's one.
Yeah.
But if you could get out of God's, if you could actually leave God, leave life, leave love,
you wouldn't be alive.
If you could, let's say you got clever and you actually invented a way to pull really hard on God and then at the last minute pull out the scissors and poop. Off you floated.
Cut the
you
cord.
Did it.
Yep, and you're dead.
And you're no longer
of God.
We're talking the world here.
They're talking the world. Aren't we floating out here in space waiting for the sun to go and then everything dies?
That's a funny concept.
You see, the eclipse came along and it's like people got really cold and said, come back, sun! They were so glad that the sun is there all the time, and this is a real exception. Something very, very, very powerful happens when you recognize how sweet it is.
Because it's always there and you don't know.
If you were capable of separating yourself from, can I just call it life for a moment? Life with a capital L. If you were possible that you could separate from the source of life, then you would die. And you would die because you're no longer with the source of life.
I've been thinking about, you know, it circles around in my mind pretty frequently. And I keep wondering what God is. You know, what the heck is God anyway? And I think life is probably the closest.
You're not alone in thinking that.
I think that's it, you know. And I think, well, the universe. I mean, well, maybe there's no life in the rest of the universe. Yeah. Well, I don't know that either, you know. Yeah. My brain's not big enough to figure it out. Yes. Anyway, any of this stuff.
Yes. Let me just take that thought, and let me just offer you a little piece. All right, now, the idea of life and God. Forget God, it's too loaded. Let's just work with one aspect we're going to call life for a moment. Life has it gets manifested. Life gets manifested. Let's call it a flower. Pushing through the soil, puts out the leaves, the thing comes out the middles, more colors, multiple colors. It's beautiful. Right on the side of the highway, between the pavement and the bricks and a little bit of dirt, a flower comes up and soaks up the sunlight. Life. Life has manifested. Mysterious power, that is. Then it dies. Yeah. Too much sun. Runs out of nutrition. It wilts. Leaves fall off. Falls over. And rots. Question. Is that life? We have a word here called death for that aspect. Mm-hmm. Very personal question, serious question. Is that life, the dead
Yeah, that
part?
That enriches the soil with nutrients and new growth.
Oh, you mean it goes on to other life?
Yeah.
So let's look at the idea of life. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles beautifully says, death does not come from life. And I had an awakening around that sentence that I'm inviting you to look at. Too, as a vector of looking at God, what God really is. That there's this thing we call life, it's a mysterious power that organizes against all odds, Ray, against all odds, puts molecules together that don't normally go together, but now somehow it harnesses, fixes nitrogen out of the soil, for crying out loud, and assembles and takes in sunlight and makes sugars and uses them to make colors and life. Manifest. So as many examples of life there may be, none of them are life, right? Uh-huh. No flower is life. It doesn't. No, life being manifest. God is being manifest. But that is not God. That is not life. Life doesn't fit in any one flower. It is powered by it. The death of the flower, the loss of the flower, does not change life one iota. Does it? Doesn't life show up all over the place?
Life is like the system.
Right? There's a system that exists, and because you killed or destroyed a flower, or even prevented it from growing, as soon as it peeped up, you just plucked it. Did you harm life?
No, it's eternal.
No, because life is not in the flower.
It's like the way
chew on that.
in the ocean, it's like... Right.
And there are several principles, okay, life's one of them, but there's other principles like that that go beyond their manifestation. And you are one of those things. Ray is one of those things that goes beyond its manifestation. Music is another example. You got a violin, you got a bow, and it vibrates, and if you do it with intention, out comes dum da da dum da da dum bum 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 dum da da dum da da dum bum 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 dum. That is a manifestation of music, but it is not capital M music.
Beautiful, Andrew. That's a great.
This is a way to look at God. Wow. But what is God really? Tough, you know, to put these things in words, but...
It really is. We're limited by our...
It's everything.
By our mind and by our words, too.
Yes.
Our experiences don't all fit into the words categories as experiences.
Yes.
Our next in-between words, you know.
Yes, this is why I love the word beyond.
Which? Beyond?
Beyond.
Yes.
In spiritual discussions, when the word beyond comes up, I celebrate. Because to fit it within our experience as separate karma-punished individuals stays inside the thought system, the limited thought system. But the idea of being an observer means you're going to go beyond what you think you know. Okay. Now's a chance for I don't know. See? And that is this freedom that comes with this new thought kind of thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, as close as I can get to it sometime, but I get that the flower is not life. I mean, I get that. Because there's something that, whatever that is, we don't have a word for it, that pushes that up. So we call it God, I guess, or I call it the great mystery. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't have a good language for it.
Yeah, you wouldn't. And in fact, you shouldn't.
Yeah, beyond language.
It's unknowable, you know.
You would kill it. Uh-huh. If you could you would kill it.
Right. it would be.
It would be a flower. Yes, it would be exactly. 622 billion, 670 trillion, trillion flowers.
Yeah.
Sum total done.
Don't say it, please.
Oh. God, I hope you never can say God. I hope you can never tell
me. So everything is part of the flow of life.
But you can know it. You can know it with this hunger that you have to be able to say it is a celebration of the fact that you can know it because it is you. Mm-hmm. The Course says the only thing you can know, it's pretty harsh on knowing. Course in Miracles, isn't it? It's pretty harsh on knowing. Yeah. It's like, hey, don't keep saying you know.
That is my biggest problem.
Right? Yeah, that's a block. That's a block. It's like, blind, that's a block. Okay, you little pee on you, don't think you know something. But it says there is one thing you can know. You can know what you are in just this way. Because you, the real you now, were you to remove the blocks of being inside this small circular thinking, it is you who is seeking. It is you who would know, only you can know you. Because you are you in your truth. You can't afford to be the true you in time and space, in competition for good and bad. And the laws here, the words and everything are required, and that's, you're never going to get there. However, that itch that we have when we're surrounded in darkness that says, I'm going to look for the light. And the power instantly that a little bit of light in a big dark situation has, to me, indicates what you really are. As you gravitate toward freedom, not toward bondage. You gravitate toward love, not toward hate. Mm-hmm. You gravitate, which is a great word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two objects, when they get close together, speed up in their proximity, don't they? They begin to gather up and do a hug.
Uh-huh, they gravitate.
Yes. So it is with you and your thoughts.
you gravitate toward fear, you will get more fear. Because you are a creator. You're trying to become fear. See?
We don't realize how powerful we are.
Yes, but you will tire of fear. Thank God the Course says this, right? Because you can only take so much pain.
This is the phrase we looked at a few months ago. You are the thing you seek.
Yeah.
What lesson was that?
318.
Yeah. 318.
You were created as the thing you seek. A little sentence buried in lesson 318. Enough to close the book and sit on that for a day. You were created as the thing you seek. Can you see the circle? Can you see the freedom?
Wow.
You know how much you seek. You know the energy and the desire for seeking certainty, fulfillment, love, light, true sharing, all these wonderful things. You were created as that. What? It's within reach.
Isn't there a Native American saying something about we're who we've been waiting for?
Sounds good.
Something like that.
Sounds good. That's it. Yeah. That's like right. Well, none of this stuff is new if it's true.
Yeah.
It's just stated in English this time. All right. Page 222, paragraph 9. Watch this. What's that, Wendy?
Oh, I see. I got it. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was telling your face on.
Same page, you said?
Page 222, paragraph 9.
Okay.
And I think Stephen's up.
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father. Yet he would not have it so, and so it is not so. You still cannot will against him, and that is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God, and this desire is not will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, and without meaning of any kind, for it is made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind because you are afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with his real salvation. Do not believe it is outside yourself, for only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it. For you do have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Julie, would you read that for him so he can just continue? I want to make sure you heard that.
The whole thing.
The whole paragraph, yeah.
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father. Yet he would not have it so, and so it is not so. You still cannot will against him, and that is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will, because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God. And this desire is not will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, and without meaning of any kind. For it is made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind because you were afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with his salvation. Do not believe it is outside of yourself, for only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it. For you do have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision.
Yes. Metaphysically, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. It kind of said that, what was that statement? People make a, make a decision between, is this just a random, everything's happening random, or do we get choice, or is there someone telling us what to do?
Uh-huh.
And what it is because it sparked that's inside of us, the creator, there is a plan that we can follow.
Uh-huh.
The question, the choice part is that we get to choose if we want to follow that.
Uh-huh.
Kind of what it says in a way.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is really going to stir the pot if I follow that.
I have thoughts on that too.
All right, so I guess we may as well stir the pot since you brought it up.
Well, because it also says that in other parts of the book it says that basically that like God's will is that we'll return to our true selves. That we already are that, right? And so this process that we're in
half truth, okay?
Yeah.
We already are that is a half truth. Which is why I say we're going to stir the pot for
the bit. Let's go. Let's do it.
A half truth means, just like the law of attraction, is a half truth. Yes, you envision something. This is how you bring it to you. Good. You envision something, and that will bring you happiness, is a prison cell you do not want. Careful of what you wish for, you may get it. The half-truth nature is, we are here. Well, yes and no, right? I mean, after all, you do have a name, an address, a social security number, a certain amount of money in the bank account, you got a place to sleep tonight, nobody else is allowed in there, you have the key. You're somebody! Half true. And only those people who can hear that are in this room or on a serious spiritual path. Because when we go on a serious spiritual path, we are willing to deny our physical identity. You're dying. And everything you have will be lost. Everything you ever wrote down will be meaningless. Everybody you've ever known will be dead and meaningless as well. It turns out, in the world.
In the world.
Say that thing again.
It all gets wiped out. Eventually.
It what?
It all gets wiped out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yet we persist on the idea that we're somehow there's a spirit going along for the ride. And that's true. Maybe more true, huh? More true than all the promises and the existences of the world. Oh, that's why I say there's like, are there two powers? There's only one power? Life is, and death does not represent life. Mm-hmm. No matter how much death, Ray, even all of death does not change life. It's an insight. You are a manifestation. You are not God. You are 100% of God. Therefore, you are God. You wouldn't be without God. A flower does not be, does not exist without life. But it is not life. Thank God, because it's going to die quick, and it's going to be ugly.
Andrew, like certain religions like make that statement, you know?
Yes.
And they can't come to that conclusion. But what's, you know, I always wonder why they, well, we're of God. Jewish people say, we're of God. No, we're not. You know how they'd use that?
Yeah.
How, but they don't come with that statement. They can't see that part of it.
Yep.
Why is that?
I don't know what their deal is. All I know is that this Course in Miracles deal, and I love it.
I see it everywhere, and it's like, I think it's just like waiting for people telling us stuff. I don't know what, but it's like, you look that deep enough, you realize it's, of course I was there once, so.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Have some compassion, will you?
Yeah. But it's really trippy to look back sometimes, and when you get clear, then you seem like, how could you not?
Mm-hmm. Look at page 298 in the workbook. Just stir the pot a little bit.
less than 158.
On the workbook.
Yeah. Try not to say the lesson number. Just stick with the page number, page 298. Somebody's going to go to the lesson number as if it was a page number.
Oh, I see.
I thought maybe this will help. Workbook, page 298. And so let's read a couple paragraphs here just to stir the pot. Julie, I think you're up.
I've read for
Oh, Wendy, then, would you?
Today I learned to give as I receive. What has been given you? The knowledge that you are a mind, in mind, and purely mind, sinless forever, wholly unafraid, because you were created out of love.
And would you look at the capitalization of what Wendy just read? Isn't that kind of interesting there? The knowledge that you are a lowercase, you are a lowercase mind, in uppercase mind, and purely lowercase mind, sinless forever, wholly unafraid, because you were created out of capital, uppercase, love.
No, lowercase.
Lowercase love. Yeah. I was surprised.
Unafraid, because you were created out of uppercase love in my book.
Yeah. Oh, mine's lowercase.
Mine's lower.
Really? How cool is that? That's what's your publication date?
I thought it should be uppercase love.
They did. They did make some fixes. They went back.
Really?
They went back.
Subtle.
Yeah.
What?
That is so much respect for the material. Mine's 1992 August.
Why would that be lowercase love?
It's a mistake if it's lowercase.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
This is 2007.
Wow, you have 2007. They changed it to lowercase.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, mine's 2007 too.
Oh, Ken is gone, so I can't get that answered.
Oh,
that is great. That is great.
Guess it was a mistake.
Yeah, I would call that a very interesting, fun little typo.
So they went back and re-edited.
Oh, that's really funny.
Wow.
Yeah, Yeah, but I think this is a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Out of love.
Yes.
Versus as love.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
So out of love would just be, it still wouldn't.
Out of the wish for love, or, if it said you were made to reflect love, I would buy all that. Yeah. And also it has the lowercase u, right? Not the uppercase u. And so it could be saying the lowercase u is made out of a lowercase love. Not understanding true love. I would buy that.
I go with that.
I would buy that. Pretty fascinating, though, that it was switched. Pretty fascinating.
So I have a version 1992 that's old.
And it has the uppercase.
It has the lowercase.
Oh, you have a 92 with a lowercase?
Yes.
Me too.
Whoa. Because mine's a 92. And it's uppercase.
Wow. Did you just change it in your own book?
No, it's pretty that. What was yours?
The same year?
92.
Yes?
It's upper. It says capital L.
And so instead of the copyright, look down at the printing. Yeah, instead of the copyright, look at the printing date. So this is probably a 2007 also.
So I looked in the beginning, 1992.
Okay.
Where do you see the
printing date? Yeah, I don't see.
Second edition, 92.
Wow,
it's a different printing.
Second edition.
Same year.
Mine's third edition.
Yeah, so third edition has the lowercase.
Isn't that interesting?
That is same year? Weird. Yeah, look at that different font and everything.
Mine doesn't.
So they went back and changed it. Did you know that? Can you pull up the foundation?
Second edition.
So it is,
yeah.
1996. Mine's lowercase.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Andrew, that you're the only book in the room with.
Yours is the old.
Does anybody else have a book with the uppercase?
The upper.
And he does.
All right.
Yes, upper.
You and Andrew have it.
Yeah.
And is it a second edition?
It says.
Oh, he doesn't have the second edition.
And the copyright is.
Yep.
See, I have the second edition.
What's your copyright?
Yep. Yeah.
What edition is David?
This is
second
also
edition has a small.
See that second edition right there?
Yeah. Oh,
right there.
But it's a different layout, so done by a different
Since
printer.
It's a lowercase y and u.
I think it was a mistake.
It could, yeah, it could. They could have had a different.
How did they go to that? That's weird. Because you think it'll all be like one.
You think it'd be one master version of Course in Miracles that got printed.
Oh my God, that's like a mistake in the Bible.
As the second edition.
That's sin.
Now, from the first edition to the second edition, there were entire pages that were missing.
It's just
the missing.
Printer they went to and they...
The first edition, there were entire pages that didn't make it into the first published edition.
Wow.
Three paragraphs is completely gone.
They purposely took it out?
No, it was stuck together. The pages were stuck together.
Really?
Yeah, during the retyping that Helen did. Oops. And they caught it and they put it back in this book, in the second edition. Mm-hmm. And now in the third edition, there's a couple of typos and things here.
It's like there weren't computers and mistakes, but it's weird that it would have been changed in the second, in a doc.
Like, yeah, that's like a purposeful thing, right? It seems that way. Unless it's one of these things that got harmed and somebody typed it back in and just poofed it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But if you read the next sentence, to me it doesn't. It reads that it should be capital L.
Maybe they caught some of the.
Nor have you left your source with a capital S. Left your source from where you came, and that is a smaller case Y. And there is, you can't take the upper and lower case things too far because they really are some places they really not paid that much attention to. And Ken talked about that. He says that there are obviously places where the capital letters were not executed.
Yeah.
Even though everybody agrees they should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not perfect. But it's pretty damn good. But isn't that fun?
Well, that's why we have forgiveness.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's why we have forgiveness. Yes. Nor have you left your source with a capital S, remaining as you were created. You, the real you, remaining as you were created, which is a big swan song in this book. I am not a body. I am free. Why? How? For
I am
still as God created me. I, even though the evidence to the contrary is mounting every day. That, my friends, is the spiritual awakening. Changes everything. Okay.
That was interesting.
This was given you as knowledge, but you cannot lose that source, that light. It was given as well to every living thing. For by that knowledge, only by that knowledge, does it live. Back to our little comment on life. Ray, you want to pick up paragraph 2?
Sure. You have received all this. No one who walks the world but has received it. It is not this knowledge which you give, for that is what creation gave. All this cannot be learned. What then are you to learn to give today? Our lesson yesterday evoked a theme found early in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. The revelation that the Father and the Son are one will come in time to every mind. Yet, is that time determined by the mind itself, not taught?
Yet is that time of the revelation of the Father and Son are one. Yet is that time of the revelation that the Father and Son are one. Yet is that determined by the mind itself, not taught. That time when you would grok, when you would understand that death does not come from life. That teasing of that hungry thought that you have, the time will be determined by your mind. So kind is that, isn't it? Not forced on you, you're not left behind, everybody else gets it but you don't. No, there will be no it to get until your
mind brings it. Now, next paragraph. You ready, Walt?
Yeah. The time is already set. It appears to be quite arbitrary. Yet there is no step along the road that anyone takes but by chance. It has already been taken by him, although he has not yet embarked on it.
And then as we go along here, I want you to keep in mind, cause and effect are not separated. This is why it's like dominoes falling. You wait. Mm-hmm. Domino 262 will fall after domino 261 in the world of dominoes.
Yeah.
That's just how it happens. Wait around, you'll see it. Watch. Just watch. Don't leave. Just watch. Go ahead.
For time but seems to go in one direction. We but undertake a journey that is over. Yet it seems to have a future still unknown to us.
He's talking really heavy metaphysics here.
Yeah.
And it says about it seems to go in one direction.
Felt like a miracle.
Yeah, how could it go in one direction?
More than one.
How could time not go in one direction? How could it go in two directions?
So there,
that's that out-of-time sequence in Miracle.
Right.
That's holographic.
It. Seems to go in one direction, but...
What's Miracle Principle 13? Keep your finger on this page. First person to get there, read it for us. Front of the book. Page 4.
Miracles are both beginnings and endings.
They're both beginnings and endings, so we're already warping with our words, yes?
And so they alter the temporal order.
Mm-hmm.
They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seem to go back but really go forward.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They undo the past and the present and thus release the future.
Like that.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a shift in perception about the very existence of the problem or whatever you're looking at. That's a miracle. It's a beginning and an ending because of its ability to redefine what it is you're looking at. Taking away all of its power, all of its karma, with the thought that, oh, wait a minute, the past is actually over. And I have full freedom now in this moment to actually go completely still and be completely unaffected by all that I'm witnessing. It's one of the real gifts of meditation. When you get really still, you just like step out of time and you go, that is so simple in those moments. And my thinking mind just took a break. And how did you live for those moments? How did you even stay alive? But you did.
With more ease.
It was very simple. Yeah.
I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me.
You sure
right?
Do.
That's what it's just changing how you see it.
Yes.
Changing the meaning of future, past.
The laws, the world seeming to be so fixed in its ways, tends to fall apart a bit when you do nothing.
That's what he was saying earlier, that when you realize, when you bring in the light to the truth to it, it just dissipates and falls away.
And all you do is not do, see?
Mm-hmm.
The habit here, the momentum here, is that you do.
You be still.
You think about the past, and you worry about what it's going to do to the future, and then if it's not good, you should start thinking about the future now extra, so you could undo some of the bad mojo and
get the good karma.
Get the good karma going, double it up, and invest in the future so that you can live a better life then,
somewhere.
Tomorrow. Struggle now, okay?
Right.
You know, get humble here, or struggle now. Mm-hmm. Get apologetic, do some sacrificing so that you can buy a better future. So says the world. But all that falls apart when you just go still. That's why it says,
so true.
I need do nothing. One of the biggest misunderstood sections of the whole course.
Mm-hmm. Where is it? It says that here.
It's the whole section called I Need Do Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's the doing mind, the mind that keeps chasing the ideas that the past will make the future, and you have to live with the future that the past already made. That whole idea.
Right, that's a marvelous. Now I just think about it.
Yes, so a miracle undoes the past in the present, which is the only time there is, all of your thoughts actually occur in the present, only, ever, forever, thereby releasing the future. Because before you undid the power of the past, the future's power to hurt you and run you and experience you was just waiting to happen, wasn't it? Like a power waiting to get you in its grips. The miracle is breaking of that cycle that the thinking person is so addicted to. That you know something. You know something that's not true, and the miracle does is it breaks that cycle of that karma, that past is going to affect the future. And you get to glimpse the present moment and the freedom that it is. This is the only place you can actually know yourself. Is outside of time, in the present moment, breathing that easy air that you can only breathe when you get out of time. Or space would turn out to be the same thing. The more we look at it, we'll see. It turned out to be the same thing. Just like life is the same. No matter its manifestation, whether it's an elephant with 10,000 pounds or a 2.5 gram flower, it's life that enables those things. Absolutely equal, even though they're completely different.
And then you learn to trust that.
Yes.
And that's the key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then you learn to trust that when you start to know it. Mm-hmm. This is the present moment dissolves the past, dissolves the future. When you experience the present moment is real, then you can really understand how it's now, and then now, and then now, and then now. And it was always now, and then now. And forevermore, it's now. And you go, ooh, that's really simple. And there's a lot of freedom there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's true. Okay. Well, we got to read another paragraph just because we're stirring the pot here.
That's a good paragraph. It's so good.
Jeff, you ready?
Mm-hmm. This is rich.
This is good.
Here it comes.
Time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion and wish. Figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind the appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end your doubting has been set. For we but see journey from the point at which it ended. Looking back on it, imagining we make it once again, reviewing mentally what has gone by.
It's just kind. But there he is. He's just telling it like it is.
It's swirling right now.
Yes. This is one of the places in the Course in Miracles where he goes up a level and he says, look, let me just tell you what's up. Let me just tell you how silly it is from my perspective that you all are so worried about. You read it?
So seriously.
Can you read that paragraph?
Looking at the Hindu wheel of life, you know.
Yeah.
Reincarnation after reincarnation after reincarnation.
Yeah.
And it just kind of undoes all that.
And we talked about that last week where you go to the center of that wheel and you can just watch it going around, and Julie says, well, you get life's like a fulcrum. It's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad. Climb up to the fulcrum point and you can not move as much as the bottom weight, which is slamming against the walls, and you can see it.
Yeah. Nice visual.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And that's what it means to make the effort to be the observer. You get off that fast swinging, or you get off the end of that Dharma wheel, which is just constantly whipping around.
It's like being above the battlefield.
It's being above the battleground. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like being in the center of the boat where you want to, you know, when everything is rocking around, you're right in the center.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Remember when I was in the army, they shipped us over to Germany. I got so seasick, I had to go out, and it was stormy, it was in January, you know, and I tied myself to the post, the pipes out there, so I ran into the post. It felt so good to have the waves splashing all over me, so I didn't wash overboard.
That sounds horrible.
It was great to be there. Wow. Better than being sick.
Yeah.
Better than being walking. Yeah. That's that same thing. You got
right,
out of that.
Get in the middle, like the point, it's like you don't get sloshed around so much.
Yeah, a lot less movement there.
You actually get, wow, look at that.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Learned and then chose to go there, and once you got there, you kept it. Tied yourself in, even. This is what I need to do. And the other guys who weren't so affected, what is LeClaire doing up there in the in the water, for crying out loud?
Crazy butt. Tie
himself
to
the
over with those big waves coming in, and and the ship was going like,
he's going to miss lunch. What a fool. They're down there eating. Right? It's not different. Don't talk to me about lunch.
I lost 9 pounds in 9 days. That's way a hell of a lot, don't
you? Yeah. You were having a different experience, but it was absolutely equal in its manifestation of life.
Then I found out when I took physiological psych in college, that it really doesn't matter about all those kinds of things. It did, but a professor, he drove his Porsche and put a camera on it. He drove it up through Topanga Canyon. And then he came in and he showed it to us. He said, about a third of you are going to get seasick.
Oh.
But going to get motion sickness.
Yeah.
Without anything.
Without moving.
Absolutely true. A third of us had to leave the room. Just watching it. It was not out there.
Yeah.
Another illusion.
Yes.
That's a really
that's
good
interesting.
Analogy.
Sympathetic neurons. Yeah.
Silly us, huh?
It's all an illusion.
See, I like this page here. This is really
cool. Yeah, this is where he really comes up and he's just...
Time is a trick. Thank you, Andrew, for tonight.
You're so
it's
welcome.
This is perfect.
You're so welcome. Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, while we pack up, would you read that paragraph for us?
That same one.
The same one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's my favorite.
Yeah, you got to read that again.
Time is a trick. A sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end your doubting has been set. For we but see the journey from the point at which it ended, looking back on it, imagining we make it once again, reviewing mentally what has gone by.
Hmm. And the Course elsewhere says that, you know, what you're making is a journey without distance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No time, no space, all sorts of creativity and thoughts and great experience. But from the perspective of awakeness, of enlightenment, of atonement completed, from the perspective of this author, you're actually making a journey that doesn't have distance. Time, it's a trick. You really are counting the hours. You really do see changes with your limited perception. He says, but from where I stand, you're chasing your own tail.
I was going to say,
you will never catch it. It's so silly to see what I see, says Jesus. He says, and when you're ready to relax off of that, I got you. Your mind will afford it when you decide. Let's have a circle. When will you get it? When will you get it? It. Yeah. When will you get it?
It.
Do you want it? Are you coming for it? Does it exist?
Sounds like Seinfeld.
Just you're in the way until you get it. Everybody, do you want to get it?
What's,
I got it.
Yeah.
Give it to me right here. I got it.
Lost it.
Slippery
fish.
I don't want to lose it though.
So it turns out with the Course in Miracles, although it appears that there are two powers, one that would give you it and one that would take it away as soon as you loosen your grip, it's the trick. It's a dirty trick, a sleight of hand. You are held in the mind. You're made from a capital M mind. And you are pure lowercase mind. In your power and freedom to be a lowercase mind that wants to get it, you live your existence as a separate individual being in competition between two powers. But it doesn't hold up to truth that there are two powers. It doesn't hold up to truth that death, which is an end, comes from life, which is not an end. Either life is, or death is. And sorting that out, this is where your mind can embrace, or it can be crushed. Only one is true. This is the gift you have to give to yourself whenever you feel like it. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. That was exceptional.
There's a good chance it could get to, you know, it's the reason I didn't get the flood management and hadn't been at this. And in fact, this could be that. It's like, that's incredible.